New Testament scriptures to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. It's good to be in the Greenville congregation last Sabbath morning. Appreciate you gentlemen that minister the Word of God here. Good to be at the Mercer's home. We spent some time with them. They hosted us for lunch. And it's good to see that their daughters again after almost 10 years, and they certainly are grown up. And Lord willing, the Mercers will all be with us in July, at the end of July, to Colin will be ministering to us the last Lord's Day of that month. Mark chapter 12 will commence with verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst or dare ask him any question. Last time that I ministered here in the morning on the Lord's Day, we considered 1 Corinthians 13 as a great portrait of Christ and a great portrait of the Christian in Christ, the believer who's in the Lord. A great portrait of Philadelphia, the love of brethren. Brethren toward one another. This particular passage, in a sense, gives us the portrait of, may I say, Philotheos. We understand what Philadelphia means, and Philotheos means the love of God. Philadelphia, the love of brethren. Philotheos, or Theophilus, however you would want to take it, both are names in the scriptures. Love for God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul." And of course, the Lord gives us a fourth element in Mark's reading, in Mark's account: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." So the love of God is certainly incarnate Christ as well as the love of man. But the love of God, or the love for God, should be incarnate Christians, those that are in Christ. This morning I want us to think about the source, the spring, and the stream of our love for God, or the source, the spring, and the stream of Philotheos, if you will, love for God. Perhaps I should have covered this before we considered 1 Corinthians 13. But there are some times that you consider the subsequent love before you consider the preeminent love. Because we want to know, does the result prove the cause, as well as what is the cause that produces the result. But be that as it may, we consider love for God today. And this passage gives us a portrait of someone who should love the Lord, or how someone should love the Lord. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Or, may I say, with what we should love the Lord. The 1 Corinthians 13 of the love for God, I suppose, is the Ten Commandments. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a portrait of God's people loving each other. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh or tallieth no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth, believeth, hopeth, and endureth all things. Notice they're all verbs, which means it's all active. True love is not passive, it's active. It takes action toward those that it loves. But may I say that our love for God is also active. Here it tells us how or with what we're to love the Lord, with our whole being. But if you certainly would combine what it says in the Ten Commandments, what would it say of our love for God? Love is monotheistic. Love is scriptural in its manifestations. We love the Lord in spirit and in truth. Love is respectful of God's name. Love is appreciative of God's time that He gives us to worship Him, and so on. But I anticipate a few things that I will say later. But our love for God has a source, has a cause. The cause of Philotheus. We know that there's got to be a cause, because we did not love Him before He loved us. Remember the words of 1 John, we love Him because He first loved us. Ours is a result of His love. Notice that the Lord is quoting Deuteronomy that says, the Lord our God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, and so on. Notice it speaks about our God and your God. In other words, God, who is the God of all the universe and the God of all creation, has become our God and your God more personally. He's our God as we consider His love for the congregation. But He's your God and my God when we consider His love for each of us individually. But what I'm saying is, this is the source of our love for Him, that He's become our God by delivering us from the land of bondage and servitude. Our sins were our masters. We were slaves to our sins, and He released us. These sinful, loveless beings became objects of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world so that the world could love Him. Deuteronomy 6 that we read together, notice, is after the Exodus, not before. We did not know God because we kept His commandments. We weren't saved because of our works. He saved us by His grace and gave us the standard for loving Him. He gives us the standard for loving Him, and then He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Ten Commandments were not given in order for us to earn eternal life by them. But the Ten Commandments were given to a people that were already delivered from the bondage and slavery and servitude of the Egyptians. The Ten Commandments were given to a people who were already bought by the blood of the sacrificial lamb. And the Ten Commandments are given for us to know how to direct our love for the Lord. They're subsequent to the Exodus, directions for our love. See, love is not just to take its own course. Love has direction. Love has directives. Deuteronomy 7 says, "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." Election is the election of grace. We are elected to salvation. We are elected to eternal life. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number. In other words, anything in you was not the reason for God choosing you. But because, why did God choose us? Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath. It was his covenant. He swore to save us, and therefore he saved us. He loved us because he loved us. And he swore to save us because he loved us. 2 Thessalonians is very clear in chapter 2, verse 13, that we are chosen to salvation. And the proof of that it will be sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We love God because he first loved us. We love God in Christ because the Spirit poured out the love of God into our hearts. This is the source of our love for God. And that's amazing grace. That God commands us to love him, and yet he says, I will be the source of that love. I will give you love to love me. I will give you a heart to love me. I will make it easy for you to love me. Why is it that it seems so hard to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? Are there many things that are competing for our love? That's all to show how much he means to us. Would you want it to be where there was no competition? There were no challenges? Surely, it is a proof of his grace, an effort by his grace, that we love him more than anyone or anything. In the midst of all the competition for our love, that it's no match, because he's the God of grace and the God of our salvation and the God of the universe. Surely, nothing should compare to our love for God. We all have to humble ourselves, don't we, to admit there are too many comparisons. God is the source of our love for him. Every spring has a source. God is that source. His salvation in Christ is the source. We can love him because he first loved us. The spring of our love for God, the spring of Philotheus, we find here, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, literally out of all your heart and out of all your soul and out of all your mind and out of all your strength. What is he saying about this love for God? Number one, it's simple. The Lord our God is one Lord. It's not a divided love. Aren't you glad there are not 1,000 gods that we need to divide our love 1,000 ways? It's simple. Not simple as in without effort, or as in easy, in the sense that it doesn't take all of our being. Simple, though, in that it is undivided and plain. The Lord says, I am one. And therefore, Israel, you love me and me alone with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not the gods of Egypt, not Baal, not Ashtaroth. They're all the imaginations of men. You're not to love vanities. You're not to love inventions. You're not to love non-beings, non-gods. You're to love me. And you know, this is one of the reasons why God commands monogamous marriages. You love one spouse, not two, not three. God never intended polygamy. And you can see all the the mazes and all the sins and difficulties that were created by polygamy in the Old Testament. Husbands, love your own wives. Wives, love your own husbands. As a reflection of our love for God and God's love for us. It's simple. It's undivided. But it's single. With all your heart. Single-mindedness. All our devotion belongs to Him. He made us, not we ourselves. As Spurgeon said, and yet these words are so painfully, so painful for us if we don't experience what He's saying. We love our dear ones on earth, but we love God and Christ better than all of them combined. For we cannot live without Him. We can live without each other, but we cannot live without God. Our love is single. Single. It's simple and single. It's loyal. Notice He says to love with all your heart. The heart is the seat of the emotions. To love the Lord with all of our heart means we're loyal to Him. Our heart beats for Him and Him alone. It's personal. We're to love Him with all of our soul. That is, we not only feel for God in our hearts, we know Him. The Lord is saying, I want you to love God. I want you to love God. You love me with all your soul. Thou shalt, He said, you shall love me. How do you get to the bottom of the word soul? Your soul is you. I know it's not easy to discern between heart and soul and mind and strength, but I think soul, we would admit, is probably the most difficult. How do you discern between soul and heart? Your heart is certainly what you feel, the seat of your emotions. Do you have any feelings toward God? Do you have any reactions toward the realization that He gave His own Son? Have you ever wept when you thought about the love of God and the sacrifice that it took Christ? Do you love God? Or do you feel like it's almost like that it's an idea? The Lord says, I want you, and I want each one of you to love me. I want you to ponder who I am. I don't want you to be content with the general church considering its love for God. That's true too, but He's saying, I want you, each one of you. God made every one of us. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. God thinks of each one of us here this morning. And He looks down upon us today and He says, do you love me? Remember what He said? Peter, lovest thou me? Put your name there today. The Lord isn't just saying, Peter. He's not just saying to your neighbor, do you love me? The Lord is saying to each one of you and me, do you love me more than these? Do you love me with your soul? It's personal. And I say, God's love, our love for God is rational. He says, love me with all your mind. If He's saying, I want you to feel for me, love of our hearts. I want you to know me. Love of our souls. I want you to think of me. Love with our minds. How do you love with your mind? We think that love is just a thing of the heart. But He's saying love is a thing of the mind. You love God when you think of Him. An evidence of love for God is thinking about Him. Thinking about Him all day. Thinking about Him all night. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What's in the book of the law? God is in the book of the law. Christ is in the book of the law. He's saying, you're meditating on me. You're meditating on Christ. What's an evidence that you love your husband or your wife or your fiancé or your brother or sister? You think about them? Other than when you have to, when they call up. That you're thinking about them when you don't have to. You're thinking about them because you choose to. You plan to. And the Lord is saying, I want you to think about me all day. I want you to think about my greatness, my glory, my grace, my goodness. I want you to think about how much it took for me to give my own son. You know, we think about those that gave their lives in war for us, and it would be anything but a crime for us to forget those who made our tranquility possible by laying down their lives. And Memorial Day is only right. Sad thing for people to think that my children who gave their lives are forgotten. God wants us to remember His Son. And this is one of the reasons why He's given us His table. You know what the Lord's table is given to us for? That we might learn to love Him with our minds. Do this in remembrance of me. That we might begin to be trained to love the Lord with all of our mind. You know, to love God with your mind takes time. It takes planning. It takes care. Love is loyal, personal, rational. Love is sacrificial, love for God. I want you to love me with all your strength. I don't want you just to love me with token gestures. You know, the Lord said we're to work by the sweat of our face. And you know how it is to work just short of sweating your face? You know, you want to do something after you've worked, and you just work only so much, and you work by the sweat of your brow, and you don't work long enough where that sweat drops over the brow, and your face sweats. You don't want to sweat so that you stink and so on. So you just work just short of it. The Lord wants us to work with all, or to love Him with all of our strength. That means I want you to love me with effort. Interestingly, He told the king in Nineveh, you know what he said to his city? I want you to cry mightily unto God that He might be merciful to us. Literally, I want you to cry with strength unto God. I want you to have effort. I don't want it to be a token gesture. I want you to pour out yourself in prayer that God might not destroy our city. In other words, be honest. Be real. Anything worthwhile takes effort, strength. You know, religion is made easy today. Come in for an hour and give your tithes and listen to a sermonette and go on your way. There won't be any effort at all. You know, we spend effort in our jobs and our pleasure and our homes. We give all our effort. And yet, religion, the first of all disciplines, God, the God of the universe, is given token gestures today, isn't He? With all of our strength, we work at home, don't we? With all of our strength, we work at our jobs. They require 8 hours. And they should. They require hard work. We give hard work. But God says, you know, it's not going to be easy in the prayer meeting when you confess your sins. You really mean it? You're going to cry with strength unto God? It's not going to be easy to listen to some sermons that cut to the heart. But do you want everything that's easy? Do you want to be selective? Or do you want the whole counsel of God? It's not going to be easy to approach that brother and sister and say, look, you've been idle, you've been a gossip. It's not easy. Not easy. Sometimes religion is doggedly hard. God is silent and He's wanting to show us, are we loyal to Him? How much does it mean to you to seek souls converted and the church revived? Lord, direct our hearts into the love of God, into the patience, the endurance that we must give before Christ's coming. Endurance is really an evidence that we have loved God with our strength. When's the last time we sweat in prayer? When's the last time we sweat in serving the Lord? When's the last time when we went out in 90-degree weather to reach souls? Because we loved Christ and we love people. The spring of the love for God is from the depths of our being. And may I say again, the first Corinthians of our love for God, the first Corinthians of Philotheus is in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Love is monotheistic. Love is love for God and God alone. Love is spiritual and scriptural, its manifestation. In other words, it's the second commandment. Love worships God as He dictates, not as man dictates. We're to love in truth. Thirdly, third commandment, love reveres God's name. Love doesn't take God's name in vain. Love cringes when God's name is taken vain. Do we still cringe? It's just amazing of the blasphemy of God's name and of Christ's name today. It's time for the church to rise up in defense of God's name. Wherever you go, whether it be Walmart or the doctor's office, or turning on the radio, God's name is taken in vain. Christ's name is taken in vain. Love reveres God's name. Fourth commandment, love makes time for God. Love takes time for God. Love gives God a whole day. Love gives God a whole day and not just an hour. Fifth commandment, love honors God's authority, wherever it may be. Honors His authority in all that He delegates to us by way of presidents and teachers and preachers. And love preserves life, promotes life. Love is holy and not lustful. Love is giving and not taking. Love is truthful and not false. Love is thankful and not covetous. In other words, we keep these commandments out of love for Him. You believe the Ten Commandments are to be kept by the love of God? The Bible says, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's in a tense that could be either a command or a future, right? Or present. So we often translate that, if you love me, command, keep my commandments. But it's just as right to translate that, if you love me, you'll be keeping my commandments. In other words, if you love me, obedience will flow. Obedience is the acid test of love, and love is the motivation for true obedience. The spring of our Philotheus is simple because there's one God. It's single because He wants all of our heart, not some of our hearts. He wants all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Loyal, our hearts. Personal, our souls. Rational, our minds. Sacrificial, our strength. And He gives us directions for it. He doesn't make us wonder how we can love God. We see the source in the spring, in the stream of love, thirdly. He says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Notice commandment, not commandments. It is true that in a sense there's two there. But he says really that the second commandment is B to the first commandment. In other words, the second commandment is part of the first. It's really one comprehensive commandment, though it's two commandments. What is he saying here? The second is likened to the first. What does that mean? It's likened. It resembles the first. It's not exactly like it, but it resembles it. How does love thy neighbor as thyself resemble love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? It resembles it because it's love. In other words, it's genuine. It's love out of the heart and soul and mind and strength. But may I say it's unlike it in this way. It's like it because it's the same love. But it's unlike it because he doesn't say, love your neighbor with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. He says, love your neighbor with some of your heart and some of your soul and some of your mind and some of your strength. To God alone is reserved all of us. It's only idolatry to love a human being with all of our being. That's worship. God wants all of our heart. My son, give me thine heart. And don't think you're short-circuiting, you're short-cutting, or you're shorting your spouse to love some of your heart. There's enough there for sufficient love for each other. But God reserves all the heart. Yes, we're to be loyal to our spouses and our children and to one another. We're to have personal love for each other. Not a distant kind of impersonalness, but a real, genuine, personable love. That's what soul, I think, is getting at. Look, be real. Be personable. Be down to earth. Be face to face. Feel a real concern to love them with your heart. Think about them. Be thoughtful. You know, you're thoughtful when you get flowers for your spouse, when you cook their favorite meal, or you rejoice when your children come home, when you're able to sit and watch them play their sport, or whatever it be. You're thoughtful. You think about your children all day. You think about your spouse. Love is thoughtful. Love is sacrificial. Have you sweat over your labor for your family? Have we sweat over our labor for our brothers and sisters? Have we sweat over our neighbor's salvation? Have we sweat over our believer to help a believer? To encourage our spouses and children and friends? May I say, have we ever sweat over praying for our enemies? The Lord is saying that love for our neighbor is a stream from the spring, from the source. If you love the Lord, if you have Philotheus, you'll have Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the outflow of Philotheus. Natural man, though, can only have earthly love. It's only the converted man that can have heavenly love. And God intends for the church to have heavenly love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The world isn't used to loving their enemies. The world is used to shooting their enemies. The world is used to people plowing airplanes into their enemies. The world needs to see a love for our enemies. We need to pray for our enemies that they might come to the Lord. Loving God's people is important to God. Theophilus, Philotheus, great portrait of our love for God is given to us in these passages. He gives us himself as the source. He tells us where the love will find its spring from our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we'll find streams, plenty for others. But he wants all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the greatest commandment. This is our rule, our guide, our decree, our mandate, our goal in life, is to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Is that your goal? What's your goal in life? This is God's goal. The greatest, what's the word commandment? Commandment is goal. Your summons. This is the greatest goal. We have all kinds of inferior goals. But the greatest goal in life, after a person has been saved, is to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and as a subsequent result, to love your neighbor as yourself. It would do us good to keep these things in mind, to remind each other often. In preparation for eternity, to love the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and facilitate it by our messages and our communication and our fellowship. But these will often be the themes that we're considering in our Sunday schools and in our services. May the Lord cause each one of us and our families and our congregation to have this kind of love that reflects the Lord. Philotheus in Philadelphia. May God bless us. Oh Lord, so often I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. So often, Lord, I feel like I'm just the one giving the message and not feeling it. Make it part of us, we pray. Lord, help us to be loving people. Not tin men, straw men. Lord, I pray that you pour out the love of God and the love for God in our hearts. To love thee with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love one another as ourselves. Lord, we pray that you would make us real. If we're filled with the Spirit, we will have love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We believe, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit reflects our love for God and for one another and for ourselves. Lord, make this happen. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Please, Lord, pour out thy love into our midst. May our families be full of love. May our homes be homes where the love of God rules and dwells. May this church not be lacking in this great gift of love. We thank thee, Lord, that you're on the throne and the best is yet to be, that if we call unto thee, that you will answer us and show us these great and mighty things that seem so far out of reach, and yet, Lord, they're not so by your grace. Lord Jesus, we hear your words today to each one of us. Lovest thou me more than these. Forgive us for the idols of our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, where we have made our own spouses and children our idols. Lord, to thee alone is to be reserved wholehearted love. And Lord, when that is so, we'll be able to have plenty more, plenty enough for each other. And so, Lord, we pray that you would occupy the center of our hearts, that you would be our God and our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, that you'll answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.